All right, here we go on episode 16 of the Four Verticals podcast. I'm your host, Harrison Graham. I'm back. It's been a couple of weeks. I took a week off because of some work stuff a couple of weeks ago, and then last week with it being Thanksgiving, had some family stuff get in the way, but I'm back, and I'm back right in time because it's championship week in college football. I started this podcast after Big 12 Media Days, and the season has just flown by. Lots of things that have happened throughout the college football season. Alabama has been the most dominant team. Clemson, well, they've been Clemson. UCF still hasn't lost a game. Texas has had a bounce back here. And Oklahoma might just be a win away from making the college football playoff. Lots to discuss here tonight. Of course, at the end of the podcast, we will make our weekly picks against the spread championship week edition this week. 10 championship games in college football. Everything from the Sun Belt to the SEC title game. We will pick it here on the Four Verticals podcast. And guess what? Last time I picked games, 7-2-1 against the spread. I'm now 52-47-1 on the season. Pretty good stretch here. I was four games below 500 at one point. Now I'm five games above 500. So I'm kind of on a roll here, picking games here. So we'll do that toward the end of the segment. Into the podcast, I should say, here on the Four Verticals podcast. Got some other things I want to discuss as well, including Texas Tech making a coaching hire that I feel is a little rushed. We'll discuss that in a little bit. I want to start with the college football playoff rankings that came out a couple of nights ago. I like to always dive into these as they come out each week. Pretty much the top six came out as we thought. Alabama, of course, number one team. They blew out Auburn. They're 12-0. Playing Georgia in the SEC title game. Clemson, they took care of business against South Carolina. They're at 12-0 as well. They're number two. Notre Dame at number three, held on to beat USC 24-17. They're the only team that is for sure in the playoff. They're 12-0. They don't have to play this week. They are in. They will likely be that three seed in the college football playoff. And then Georgia at 11-1, sliding up as Michigan gets bulldozed last week. They fell to number seven as they're 10-2 now. Oklahoma at 11-1, they move up a slot. They're number five. And Ohio State jumps from 10-6 after beating Michigan 62-39. Wow. How about that game, huh? I want to get into some of that here in a little bit as well, because I'm having a change of thought and where we are in football, especially at the college level, but you're seeing it some in the NFL too. Things are changing in football, and I will explain later on in the show. Some of the other notables in the college football rankings, like I said, Michigan drops to number seven. They're the highest-ranked two-loss team. UCF moves up to number eight at 11-0. Horrible story for them. Quarterback Mackenzie Milton, awful leg injury, nerve damage. They did restore blood in the leg, which is good, which means obviously there won't be an amputation or anything like that. But his playing future is obviously in doubt. He is clearly not going to play the rest of this season. They got to play Memphis in the American Athletic Championship game to secure their spot in the New Year's Six. Number nine, Florida. This is where it becomes problematic for me. Dan Mullen is doing about as much as you could ask in his first year at Florida. 9-3. They're second in the SEC East. But look at what they've done. The win over LSU was a good win at home. 27-19, nice win. They squeaked by Mississippi State on the road, 13-6. Emotional win for Mullen, I'm sure. Look at their three losses, though. They lose at home to Kentucky by 11. They get bulldozed by Georgia, 36-17. And Missouri beats them in the swamp, 38-17. That's the number nine team in the country? Give me a break, man. LSU coming in at number 10. You know, they have some nice wins this year. Did not finish strong, obviously. Number 10's fine. I know they lost to Florida. I personally think they're a little bit better than Florida. I think their resume's better. But, you know, that's fine. Washington moving up to number 11. Solid win over Wazoo to decide the Pac-12 North. Feel for Washington State, who's now 10-2. I mean, that game's in a blizzard in Pullman. Washington is much more built to play in those elements. They can run the football with Gaskin. They can play. They're a little bit more sound defensively. Browning made the plays when he had to, whereas Washington State, it's all on Gardner Minshew. He's throwing the ball 40, 50 times a game this year, and chunks of snow are falling out of the sky. And they end up losing that game, just can't move the ball consistently enough. And the committee punishes them by dropping them to number 13. They're behind Penn State, who's number 12 at 9-3. I want to show y'all what Penn State's done this year. Penn State, their best win, and I'm not kidding about this, is at Pittsburgh in week two. Their three losses to Ohio State, Michigan State, and Michigan. You're talking about their best wins either at Pitt or at home against Iowa by six. They beat Wisconsin, who's horrible this year. Maryland's 5-7. They survive against Rutgers 20-7. Rutgers sucks. Kansas beat them by 50. They beat Indiana by 5. You know, they survived in week one against App State in overtime. App State's have a nice year. They're in the Sun Belt title game, but come on. That team's ranked ahead of Washington State. Washington State lost a three-point game early in the year to USC. That was very controversial, by the way. And then they lose in a blizzard against their rival last week. They're 10-2, and they drop them from 8 to 13. They may not make the New Year's Six at 10-2. Washington State is one of the best stories in college football this year. They were picked fifth in the Pac-12 North. Gardner Minshew was about to sign with Alabama to be a backup and then sign on as a GA the year after that. Mike Leach gives him a call. He comes to Washington State, and he's in the mix for the Heisman? Leading the nation in passing? Are you kidding me? 10-2? They're not going to be in the New Year's Six, potentially? I get they're not in the Pac-12 title game, but that's the most consistent team in the Pac-12 this year. You put that game in normal elements last week, and they beat Washington. And there's no doubt in my mind about that. Now, you got to be suited to play in all the elements. And, you know, the one downside about a Mike Leach offense is you got to find a way to run the football. And they just couldn't do it on Saturday. I get all that. But they should not be behind Florida and Penn State. Maybe LSU, because they have three or four pretty solid wins. Washington State doesn't have as many. They got two or three. But come on. Washington State, they deserve to be in the New Year's Six. They should get an at-large, and that is very much in doubt now. Texas at number 14 at 9-3. Kentucky at 9-3 is at 15. West Virginia drops to 16 at 8-3. Such a disappointing year for West Virginia. They had everything in front of them the last 2 weeks, and they blow a 10-point lead in Stillwater, and they get outgunned 59-56 against Oklahoma. I said it before the year. A lot of people were picking West Virginia as a trendy pick to win the Big 12, trendy playoff pick. You know what I said? I said they feel like Oklahoma State did last year. They got the senior quarterback. They got the big-time receiver in David Sills. They got Gary Jennings. They got a couple players on defense, including David Long. They can move the ball. This is their year. No, it's not. I like Dana Holgorsen. I think he's a good coach. And I'll bring up Dana again in a minute when I talk about Texas Tech's coaching search. They're very similar to Oklahoma State, that program is. Oklahoma State's done a little more. They've won a New Year's Six Bowl more recently. And when I say a little more, I'm saying since West Virginia's been in the Big 12, Oklahoma State has done more. But very similar. Mike Gundy, Dana Holgorsen, very good coaches, but they have trouble in the big games. Look at Mike Gundy's record in Bedlam. This year's a perfect example. They play out of their minds. Everything's right there to win that game. Go for two, and they don't get it. They lose by one. West Virginia, same deal. They put up 56 points, give up 59 points to Oklahoma. Oklahoma just has that mental edge over these teams in the Big 12. Including West Virginia. This was the year for West Virginia. Oklahoma is so bad defensively. So bad. West Virginia is a more complete football team. They get that game at home, and they still can't get it done. Will Grier, a couple of mistakes, strip sacks, run back for touchdowns for OU. Just couldn't get it done. So that's a disappointing year for them. They end up fourth in the Big 12 because Iowa State has the tiebreaker over them. Iowa State, by the way, 7-4. They're 23rd in this week's top 25. Conveniently, Missouri slips into the top 25 at 24. That helps the Floridas of the world and the SEC teams, of course. Northwestern at 21. They'll be in the Big Ten title game. Syracuse at 20 at 9-3. They've had a nice year. That, by the way, they're 9-3 at number 20, had a really nice year. They're 11 spots behind Florida at 9-3. ACC is not really that close to the SEC. I get that. But are those two teams really 11 spots apart? I think if Syracuse and Florida played on a neutral field, that'd be a pretty good game. Eric Dungy at quarterback for Syracuse, they've had a good year. They can do some things. They would challenge Florida in a major way, in my opinion. And they're 11 spots behind those boys. Don't get it. Good news is the top six is correct, in my opinion. Again, Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, Georgia, Oklahoma, Ohio State. That Ohio State, Michigan, by the way, I want to get this thought out there before I talk about the college football playoff scenarios here on the Four Verticals podcast. I was starting to develop a thought in football, especially at the college level, but it's happening in the NFL some as well. You're seeing a change in how games are won. We've said forever that elite defenses beat elite offenses. That is no longer the case more often than not. Ohio State, Michigan proved that. Michigan has won 10 games in a row. They were swarming defensively. They were playing better offensively. Ohio State is having all kinds of problems on their defense. They're struggling at times to run the football. What happens when Michigan goes to the horseshoe? Ohio State blasts them. And yeah, getting hyped up for the rivalry game, there's something to that. And there's a mental edge for Ohio State in that rivalry. They've won 13 out of 14 coming into this year. I get all that. Michigan had a more complete team this year, though. And they just get drilled. And that's why what I'm saying, I think you're seeing it. Good offense beats good defense now. You can't stop it. You can slow it down in some cases. Michigan is a legitimate top five defense in college football, and they just gave up 62 points. 62 points. And by the way, Ohio State took a knee inside the 20 to end the game. They could have scored again. Dwayne Haskins was doing whatever he wanted. J.K. Dobbins was getting loose. Michigan had no answers. And you watch Michigan play, yeah, they're improved offensively. Shea Patterson had a nice year. Caron Higdon running the football did some good things. But Jim Harbaugh, if he's ever going to beat Ohio State and win the Big Ten, he's going to have to get a coordinator in there like a Cliff Kingsbury. That's a guy they should have called, although his services may be off. Looks like he's heading to USC. They still run this multiple offense where they run the I formation, they huddle up, they play slow. You can't do that. Not against these top-level teams. Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, Ohio State, what do they all have in common? Tempo, spread. They're throwing it side to side. They're throwing it vertically. They're running the football with speed backs. You can't play this slow, boring, slugfest football against these high-level teams with speedy elite athletes. You're just going to get blasted. It's a matchup sport now. Michigan's secondary had no chance with Ohio State's speed on the outside. KJ Hill, Paris Campbell, those guys, no chance. You see guys in the NFL, look at the Chiefs. Tyreek Hill, how are you going to slow that guy down? You can't guard him. He's too fast. You watched that Rams-Chiefs game a couple of Monday nights ago. 54-51. We have to redefine what good defense is. It's turnovers. It's forcing a field goal when they get into your red zone. It's getting the occasional three and out. Like, look at Oklahoma, West Virginia. Oklahoma's defense isn't good, but you know what? They sacked Will Grier twice, forced fumbles, and ran both back for touchdowns. You could argue their defense won the game. They gave them 14 points. That's huge. That is huge. Michigan had no chance against Ohio State in that football game. They just didn't have the horses, not offensively. We're seeing a change in the sport of football. Good offense beats good defense. Look at Alabama. Nick Saban knew he had to go to Tua Tagovailoa to win the national championship last year. His good defense wasn't going to win that game. It wasn't good enough. Jalen Hurts wasn't good enough. Jalen Hurts is 26-2, and he went away from him in that game last year, and he didn't start him this year. Because he knows that you have to score points. A lot of points. Jalen's a nice player. Some teams are going to be calling him after this season as a grad transfer. But Tua's better. You got to play the guy that gives you the best chance to score as many points as possible. That's where we are in today's day in football, and especially in college football. I want to talk some college football playoff scenarios real quick. Really, it's simple. Obviously, let's start at Alabama. They beat Georgia. Obviously, they're the top seed. They're in. Clemson, they beat Pitt. They're in. They lose. They're probably out. I think it's that simple. ACC's crap. You can't lose to Pitt. Beat Pitt, you're in the playoff. You're the two seed. Notre Dame, they're in. There's no scenario, in my opinion, that would leave them out at 12-0. Obviously, not having the 13th data point. Maybe there's a scenario where they would fall to the four seed. Maybe the committee punishes them for not having a conference championship game, and they would get stuck playing Alabama. I don't see it, though. I think they're locked into that 2-3 game with Clemson, assuming the Tigers beat Pittsburgh on Saturday. Georgia, this is where it gets interesting. Georgia, they beat Alabama. They're in the playoff. They're already number four. They beat the top team in the country. They're in. The question is, and especially if it's a tight game, what do you do with Alabama? Get to that in just a second. Number five, Oklahoma. If they beat Texas and everything else goes chalk, I think they get in. I think if Alabama beats Georgia, Clemson beats Pitt, Notre Dame's already in, even if Ohio State blasts Northwestern, with it being Northwestern, you know, they're a lower-ranked team than Texas. Plus, Oklahoma's argument would be, we beat every team we played this year. That would be their argument. The team they lost to, they beat in the conference title game. They would be in my opinion. And, oh, you're seeing a lot on Twitter and, you know, in the media this week. Oh, Ohio State's never jumped a Big 12 team in the last week before. Well, guess what? The name is Oklahoma this time. It's not TCU or Baylor. That helps as well. And even deeper than that, this Northwestern team, it was not that Wisconsin team. That Wisconsin team was a legit top 10, top 15 team. This Northwestern team is 8-4 and 21st in the college football playoff rankings poll. They could beat them by 50. Oklahoma's win over Texas is going to carry more weight. Ohio State needs Oklahoma to lose to have a chance. For Ohio State, they need Oklahoma to lose, like I just said, and they need that's really it. Because if Alabama beats Georgia and Oklahoma loses to Texas, Ohio State would likely slide into that four spot. I think they would be in that scenario. So that's really it. Yeah, I mean, it's simple as that. Obviously, if weird things happen, let's say, God forbid, Trevor Lawrence gets hurt and Pitt upsets Clemson, you know, what happens then? If Georgia beats Alabama, this is the scenario. Georgia beats Alabama, this is the scenario. Honestly, I'm kind of rooting for this. As much as because I want to see Oklahoma-Alabama. I want to see Tua versus Kyler, top two Heisman guys, you know, maybe the top two offenses. You know, I want to see it. But if Georgia beats Alabama, it may stir the conversation to expand the playoff. Because then if everything else goes chalk, you're deciding between Alabama, a one-loss Big 12 champion in Oklahoma, and a one-loss Big 10 champion in Ohio State. You're deciding between those three teams for one spot. And to me, you can't put Alabama in, but it would not shock me if the committee did. And to me, that's so wrong. And that's why you got to expand the system. Because even if Alabama loses a tight game to Georgia, they are a very good team worthy of being in a playoff system. But to me, not in this system. You're gonna leave a one-loss Big 12 Oklahoma champ or a one-loss Big 10 Ohio State champ out for an Alabama and SEC runner-up? That's flawed, man. It's already going to be tricky this year. Ohio State, and as much as I've bagged on them this year, at the end of the day, 12-1 Ohio State Big 10 champ? That's probably a team that should be in the college football playoff. That is a very good season. Yeah, they're flawed. You go 12-1 and win a Power 5 conference, you're doing something right. Dwayne Haskins, the way he's played this year, he's not going to win the Heisman, but he better be in New York. He's played at such a high level. I've watched this kid play a couple of times. Very impressed. He scorched Michigan. I saw him in person against TCU, made some big-time throws. He's talented, man. He's going to make some money in the NFL. Oklahoma, same deal. If they somehow didn't get in at 12-1 as a Big 12 champ, that's the best offense in college football I've seen in a long time, and that includes the Baker Mayfield offenses. Kyler Murray as a runner just gives them so much more dimension. They are so dynamic. They're averaging almost 9 yards a play. People don't know how to stop them. There's a reason they're 7.5-point favorites against Texas, even though Texas beat them earlier this year. Because that offense is so explosive. So explosive. So those are the scenarios. My prediction, I think it'll be Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Oklahoma. I think Alabama will find a way to beat Georgia. We're obviously going to make our official picks in the next segment. I just think Alabama's a little more complete. I like Tua more than I like Jake Fromm. I think Georgia will play well in this game. I think they're getting overlooked. I think the line's 13.5. I think it's a bit disrespectful, but I just expect Alabama to come out and play their game. I don't see a Pitt upset over Clemson. I don't see a Northwestern over Ohio State. Texas over OU is not a reach. That's very possible. We've already seen it this year. I just think Oklahoma has so much more to play for than Texas. And yeah, you could say, what does Texas have to lose? Obviously, they have the Big 12 championship to lose. They have a game to their rival to lose. They have an automatic bid in the New Year's Six to lose. But if we're being honest, this has been a great season for Texas. This is a very big stepping stone for Tom Herman and that football program. If we're being realistic, next year's the year they should be looking at winning the Big 12 and maybe challenging for the college football playoff. Getting to this game is a good result for this year, for this year's team. Oklahoma, getting to the Big 12 title game is not acceptable for where they are on their standards. Winning this game and having a chance at the playoff, that's where that program is right now. They're the class of the Big 12. They've been that since the playoff era has started, really since the Big 12 has started. They've got more to play for. This could be Kyler Murray's only Big 12 title game and last chance to beat Texas. He wants to make a Heisman statement. He wants to make a playoff statement. He wants to beat Texas. I just think they got a little more juice coming into this game. Sam Ellinger is still banged up. That shoulder isn't right. You know, he didn't have the same velocity on those throws against Kansas. We'll see what his status is. I just think Oklahoma has a little more to play for. A couple of coaches' notes I want to get to here. Texas Tech has made a bizarre, in my opinion, a bizarre coaching hire. Matt Wells out of Utah State. And by the way, he is bringing both of his coordinators with him to Texas Tech. This deal has gone through today. I haven't seen numbers or anything like that, but he is officially the head coach at Texas Tech. I want to read you his credentials. And I'm not bagging on the guy. The guy went 10-2 this year for Utah State. They got a chance to win the Mountain West. He's doing good things. Actually, they don't have a chance to win the Mountain West. Boise State and Fresno State are playing in the title game, but still 10-2 is 10-2. Third-ranked scoring offense in FBS this year. He did good things this year. Since he joined Utah State in 2013 as the head coach, he was the OC in 2012, head coach in 2013. 9-5, 10-4, 6-7, 3-9, 6-7, 10-2. That's 44-33 overall. His only time spent on a Power 5 conference team on a staff was in 2009 as the quarterback's coach at Louisville. That's it. That's the only time he's been on a Power 5 staff. And then you're seeing the report today that Dana Holgorsen, the West Virginia head coach, not only was interested in the Texas Tech coach, who, of course, he was the OC there under Mike Leach several years ago, although Leach called the plays, he wanted the job, which that may sound crazy. I think it actually makes sense. You know, Will Greer's leaving after this year. David Sills is going to be gone. He's losing a lot of players at West Virginia. You know, this is the time to jump. And Kirby Hoka declines to interview him. I'm confused by Texas Tech's vision here. What is the rush to get this Wells guy to Lubbock? I mean, you fire Cliff Kingsbury and you zero in on the Utah State coaching staff? And by the way, he's bringing offensive coordinator David Yost and defensive coordinator Keith Patterson with him. I am very surprised by this from Hocutt and Texas Tech. Look, I'm not saying it's not going to work. I don't know if it's going to work. But this is the guy you zero in on. I'm not even sure they formally interviewed anyone else. I am very surprised by this. A lot of my Tech buddies were, you know, they were excited for a change. I'll tell you this, though. Matt Wells, you know, that doesn't exactly move the needle on paper. Now, did Matt Campbell move the needle when Iowa State hired him? Probably not. You know, there's been plenty of examples of no-name guys getting their breakthrough chance and taking advantage of it. Gary Patterson at TCU, of course. There's plenty of them out there. But this guy's older than Cliff. He's 45 years old. Good year this year at Utah State, but his last 3 years combined, 15-22. 15-23 from 15-17. It's not great. It's not great. Good year this year. Just kind of wondering if this is a bit of a reach and a bit of a rush for Texas Tech to go and get Matt Wells and his coaching staff from Utah State to Lubbock, Texas. I'm confused by it. You know, I don't completely believe, you know, there's some truth to it. I'm not crazy about the, oh, he can't, you know, he has no Texas recruiting ties. You can either recruit or you can't, you know. And we'll see real quickly if he can recruit to Lubbock, Texas. I will say that's a hard place to recruit to these days, you know, especially once TCU got into the Big 12. Some of those Metroplex kids got, you know, swiped up by them, those three stars that don't get offers from Texas and OU. TCU's getting more of those guys now than Tech is. I'm just perplexed, man. I'm surprised by this from Texas Tech, but we will see if it all works out for the Red Raiders. That's going to wrap up the first part of the Four Verticals podcast. Coming up next, we do it every week. We make our picks against the spread. Championship week edition. 10 conference championship games this week in college football. We pick them against the spread next here on the Four Verticals podcast. Putting a wrap on this week's edition of the Four Verticals Podcast Championship Week edition. I'm your host, Harrison Graham. Got to make our picks for Championship Week. We got 10 games here in college football championship, conference championship games here. Got some other games sprinkled in as well, but I'm just going to sprinkle in and pick the championship games. The last time we made picks, I went a blazing 7-2-1 against the spread. Got us above 500 finally. 52-47-1 on the season. 10 more games this week. Let's start with a couple of games on Friday night in the MAC. It's the MAC championship game. Northern Illinois versus Buffalo. Buffalo, a 10-win team this year. Quarterback Tyree Jackson, NFL prospect. A lot of scouts like his big arms. Got 25 touchdowns on the season. Give me Buffalo, just 3.5-point favorites in this one. This game being played up in Detroit at Ford Field. Northern Illinois, just a 7-5 team. I'll take Buffalo. I say they get to their 11th win of the year and have a chance to go for 12 in a bowl game. I'll take Buffalo, give the points. I think they win the MAC. Pac-12 title game, disappointing end of the season for Washington State. Hopefully Mike Leach's crew will be in the New Year's Six. Number 11 Washington gets in. They play number 17 Utah, who won the Pac-12 South. Huskies 5.5-point favorites in this one. I like Washington. They just seem to get it done when it counts most. Disappointing season overall. I think they would tell you 9-3. They had playoff aspirations early in the year. They lost that week one game to Auburn. A couple of more losses sprinkled in there. This game was tight when these two played each other earlier in the year. Washington 5.5-point favorites. I like the Huskies to cover in this one. Jake Browning quietly having another really good season, and even more of a good season is their running back Miles Gaskin. He was the difference against Wazoo the other night in the blizzard up there at in Pullman. I think he has another big day. Utah quietly having a good season as well. Winner of this game gets to go to the Rose Bowl. I think Jake Browning finishes his senior year in style. They win the Pac-12 yet again. He'll be playing in the Rose Bowl later this month. Big 12 title game. Number 14, Texas. Number 5, Oklahoma. 11 a.m. kick on Saturday. Like we talked about in the last segment, simple for Oklahoma win. Probably going to be in, assuming Alabama beats Georgia. Obviously, we'll make that pick here in a minute. But for the Sooners, just take care of business on Saturday. Let everything fall into place. Oklahoma, 7.5-point favorites over Texas, despite losing to them earlier this season. I'm still going to pick the Sooners to cover and win this game. I just think they have so much more to play for. Not to say that Texas doesn't have a lot to play for. Potential auto berth to the New Year's Six, obviously, on the line. Not sure if they'll get one of those spots if they lose in this game. Could be dicey, so they have a lot to play for as well. But realistically, if you're Texas, and it sounds crazy because Texas is a blue blood program, but getting to this game is a big accomplishment for this group. Getting to this game is always a big accomplishment for Oklahoma, but winning it and, more importantly, having a chance to play for the playoff, that's their standard right now. Oklahoma's got more to play for. Kyler Murray's got a lot to play for, as this could be his only season in Norman. He wants to play for the college football playoff. He wants to make one final statement for the Heisman Trophy. I think Oklahoma gets revenge on Texas. They cover the 7.5. They win this game, I'll say, by 10 points, something like, I'll say 45-35. Oklahoma tops Texas on Saturday. Sun Belt title game, Louisiana versus Appalachian State. App State, 10 wins on the season. They're 16.5-point favorites. They get this game at home. Give me App State. I think they take care of business here, get to 11 wins. Great season, breakout season. They've only been FBS for a couple of years now. I think they keep this thing rolling. They cover the 16.5, and they win straight up. Give me App State. Conference USA, UAB versus Middle Tennessee. Living in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, I know it was a disappointing season for North Texas. 9-3, still a good result, but they wanted to be in this game and win Conference USA. UAB, kind of the surprise team in college football. They have a 10-win season as well. 9-win season. They lost their final game of the year. Middle Tennessee, 8-4. Give me UAB to go on the road. They're 1.5-point dogs in this game. They played Texas A&M fairly tough a couple of weeks ago. I think they go into Middle Tennessee. They get a win. They get their 10th win of the year and continue one of the just really quietly great stories in college football. Their program went under a few years back. This is just their second year back. And they went bowling last year, have a chance to win the conference this year. Give me UAB. I think they get it done. American Athletic Championship game, Memphis at number 8 UCF. Obviously the story for Central Florida, quarterback Mackenzie Milton, just an awful injury against South Florida on last week. Luckily, blood flow has been restored. If you didn't see it, just a nasty hit. There is nerve damage. Sounds like it could be similar to the injury Cowboys linebacker and former Notre Dame linebacker Jalen Smith had. Could be a drop foot injury there moving forward, so we wish him the best. UCF just getting just 5-point favorites in this one. Obviously, a lot of that has to do with Milton's injury. This game is in Orlando at home. I'll still take UCF to win by more than 5. This game will be tight, though. I bet it's within 10. Memphis played them tough earlier this year. I think they'll do it again, but give me Central Florida. They'll play inspired for their quarterback. They get this done. They keep their unbeaten streak alive for the last 2 years. SEC title game, number 1 Alabama, number 4 Georgia. Most anticipated matchup of the day. Obviously, lots of situations and playoff implications on the line here. Obviously, if Alabama wins, they're in. You would assume the same for Georgia at number 4. If they beat number 1 Alabama, win the SEC with one loss, obviously they're going to be in. What's dicey, like we discussed in the last segment, if Alabama were to lose, especially in a close football game, what could that mean for Oklahoma? We'll have to wait and see. Alabama, 13.5-point favorites. I think it's too high. I think I respect Georgia more than that. I think Alabama will win this football game, but this will be a game in the fourth quarter. Georgia is one of about 3 programs in the country that won't be intimidated when they take the field. Clemson's another one. Oklahoma might be another one. That's about it. Georgia's not going to be beaten before kickoff like most teams are when they play Alabama. They should have beat them in the national title game last year. They got a lot of that team back this year playing really good ball, especially since that humbling loss to LSU. Georgia keeps this thing within 13. Alabama ultimately wins, though, and knocks Georgia out of the playoff. Give me the Crimson Tide to win. Georgia does cover the 13.5. Mountain West title game, number 25, Fresno State, at number 22, Boise State. Broncos, 2.5-point favorites. Give me Boise on that blue turf. I just don't see Fresno going in there and beating the Smurfs on their home field. Boise State just doing what they do, 10-2 season, having a chance to win the Mountain West. What'll be interesting is if Boise wins, and let's say UCF gets, for some reason, gets humbled and beat pretty bad by Memphis, if the playoff committee would give Boise the nod and rank them higher than UCF to get the New Year's Six auto bid, especially with Milton out for Central Florida. So not necessarily just the Mountain West title game to play for if you're Boise State. Could be playing for more. Give me the Broncos. I think they cover the 2.5 and win this game as well. I pick them over Fresno State. A couple of games left here as we go through our championship picks here on the Four Verticals podcast. ACC championship game, number 2 Clemson, 27.5-point favorites against Pittsburgh, who is just 7-5 ACC. Can't emphasize enough how bad it's been this year. I'll put it this way. Clemson somehow loses this game, you got to take them out of the playoff. You can't lose to Pittsburgh. I know they've been the most consistent team, especially the last 2 months outside of Alabama. Got to beat Pittsburgh. And I think they will win convincingly. 27.5 is a lot of points, but Pitt's terrible. Give me Clemson. I think they win by more than 4 touchdowns. They play a clean game. They get ready for the playoff. This is when Dabo's teams play their best football into the year like this. They'll roll into the playoff with a lot of confidence. Give me the Tigers. Last game of championship week, Big Ten title game. Could be a lot of stake here depending on what happens earlier in the day, which I think is to Ohio State's advantage. Number 21, Northwestern. Number 6, Ohio State. Buckeyes, 4.5-point favorites. Obviously, I think they need Oklahoma to lose to Texas earlier in the day. They'll obviously know the result of that game before kickoff. 14.5-point favorites against Northwestern. Scrappy bunch for the Wildcats. I think Ohio State broke out and put it all together last week. That offense is rolling with Dwayne Haskins. He should be in New York for the Heisman Trophy ceremony. I think Ohio State rolls. They cover the 14.5 and win big. I think they're going to win this game like 42-17. I don't think this will be close. I don't think it'll be 59-0 like it was 4 or 5 years ago when they needed to make a monster statement before the playoff. Made their final four picks on the Sunday afterwards. It won't be that bad. I think this game will be a blowout, though. 42-17. Dwayne Haskins has another big day. J.K. Dobbins keeps things rolling. Buckeyes roll in what could be Urban Meyer's last Big Ten championship game as the head coach at Ohio State. So real quick, just a recap of my championship pick selections. A MAC championship game, Buffalo 3.5-point favorites versus Northern Illinois. Buffalo wins and covers. Pac-12 title game, Utah versus Washington. Huskies 5.5-point favorites. Give me Washington. They win and cover. Big 12 title game, Oklahoma, Texas, OU 7.5-point favorites. Sooners win and they cover. Big game for them. Playoff aspirations on the line. Sun Belt title game, App State, Louisiana. App State 16.5-point favorites. They win. They cover. Conference USA, Middle Tennessee, 1.5-point favorites against UAB. Give me UAB. I think they win straight up. American Athletic title game. Memphis, number 8 UCF. UCF 5-point favorites against the Tigers. I still think they win despite Mackenzie Milton being out. They cover the 5 as well. They'll play inspired. They'll improve to 12-0. SEC title game, number 1 Alabama, number 4 Georgia. Crimson Tide, 13.5-point favorites. Too big of a spread. I think Alabama wins. I think Georgia covers. Bama gets the top seed in the college football playoff. Mountain West title game, number 25, Fresno State. Number 22, Boise State. Broncos, 2.5-point favorites. They're playing at home on the blue turf. Give me Boise State. 2.5-point favorites. They win. They cover. They get to 11 wins. Number 2, Clemson. Pittsburgh. Tigers, 27.5-point favorites. Pitt's garbage. Gimme Clemson. They win by more than 4 touchdowns. Big Ten title game, number 21, Northwestern. Number 6, Ohio State. Buckeyes, 14.5-point favorites. They will win impressively, but it won't be enough to get to the college football playoff. Because my last prediction here, I think we see a lot of chalk on Saturday. Alabama wins. Clemson wins. Notre Dame's off, but they're unbeaten. They'll get the 3 seed. Oklahoma will win. That will be enough for them to get into the number 4 seed, in my opinion, regardless of what Ohio State does. Those are your 4 teams in the playoff, and I think at this point that's the best you can hope for. We get to see Tua versus Kyler. Then we get to see 2 of the better defenses in Clemson and Notre Dame. Not a bad playoff if that's the way it turns out. But this committee, this process, this system, still a long way to go. We'll discuss how it all plays out next week on the Four Verticals podcast. Might get a little Heisman talk in there, as there won't be any games for the next week or two after Championship Saturday. So we're going to still have plenty to discuss. College football playoff, Heisman, early look at some of the key bowl games. Be sure to check this podcast out again next week. So that's episode 16 of the Four Verticals podcast. Remember, as always, as we wrap things up every week here on the Four Verticals podcast, you're going to see it on Friday, you're going to see it on Saturday, you're going to see it on Sundays in the NFL. When in doubt, always go deep.